resist the temptation to find meaning for your life and your problems outside of anything other than the Word of God. My friend, this is why I stand so much against life coaching and counseling, even though you throw quote-unquote Christian on top of it. Because at the foundation of those teachings is psychological, man-made, hollow, and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human traditions and worldly wisdom rather than on the principles and teaching of Jesus Christ. As I was walking up in prayer this morning, I feel led to share with you a message that serves as a real warning to all of us and to our friends and family that are walking in faith with us of just how real and how antagonistic and how effective the schemes of the devil are in our lives to prevent us from staying on the straight and narrow path with Jesus Christ. I want to share a story about somebody that I've discipled over a few years and what ended up happening and how the devil has succeeded in taking that person completely off the path of truth as laid out in the scripture. You would have never imagined in the beginning of this relationship that this person could have ever had anything less than a pure, strong, persevering zeal for the Lord Jesus Christ. You would have met this person and thought, man, if there was somebody that is definitely going to make it, somebody that is pure of heart, somebody that's resisting the error that is so prevalent in today's church, somebody that just has truly humbled himself, it was this person. You could not imagine with human eyes and human understanding by what you see that this person could ever possibly fall away from the truth. But this person indeed has dramatically fallen away from the truth. I have to tell you, seeing it firsthand, it's shocking to me. Now, over the last 5 years of ministering to thousands of people through Relentless Heart Ministry, I've had the opportunity to have personal connection and interaction and sometimes some long-term relationships with a good number of people where I would begin to trade recordings with them, not just one or two, but I did a long-term relationship with them and a great number of recordings. So I got to watch how God dealt with these people and how the devil dealt with these people along the way. And I got to really learn and see the principles and warnings in Scripture come alive to us. So as a warning, I want to share this true story with you of what happened that will help keep you vigilant to stay low, humble, and alert, and also perhaps help you to warn family members and friends and to be aware of what might already be happening in their life with a true story, one of these true stories. In 2 Corinthians 11, 3 through 5, Paul says he is afraid. Now here's a man of God who has a relationship with God that is unprecedented, and I still believe is the greatest Christian that has ever lived, who was caught up to heaven, received the revelation of Jesus Christ directly from God, now talking about he's afraid. When that man says he's afraid, we need to pay attention to it and not think he's just being a drama queen. He says to this church, filled with believers in Jesus Christ, who have the Holy Spirit, who have the gifts at work in their church, albeit many of them are very carnal, they still are spoken to and written to by Paul and discerned by Paul to be true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's telling them that he is afraid that just as Eve was deceived in the Garden of Eden by the serpent's cunning, craftiness, sneakiness, spiritual darkness and brilliance, deceptions, that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, that your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. My friends, this warning, I believe, has more weight to it today than it did even then, if nothing more than by the sheer volume of people that are on the world today calling themselves Christ followers. compared to the number of people, which would have been very few back then. But we're living even more in the days of darkness, where there are deceptions that exist, religions and lies and paths off of the truth that have been cut by the thousands more than what there were when Paul was running this church and preaching to the church. Do you understand what I'm saying? The devil has had 2,000 more years to come up with all kinds of other rabbit trails off of the single path of truth. And he says to them, look, I am afraid, I'm terrified. In the book of Acts, he even says he warned them, not necessarily the Corinthian church, but all the believers, for 3.5 years with tears he warned them that wolves would come in from among their own people and lead them astray to be followers of them rather than followers of Christ, and rather than hearers of the truth, they would be led astray. So he says, from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. So what we can discern off of this is that when you start having somebody or some source outside of yourself begin to add meaning to your Christianity that comes from outside of Scripture, you're now adding to what was once pure. You're diluting it. Like, for example, years ago there was a story about a scam that was being pulled with Parmesan cheese. I don't remember, you can look it up on Google, but it was on the an evening news or something. I mean, this was legitimate. This was not a Snopes thing. This was legitimate, that there was sawdust of some kind or something being added to Parmesan cheese. And so when you were putting Parmesan cheese, you were not getting 100% pure Parmesan cheese. I mean, I remember people were freaking out about this. They thought, is this a joke? Sure enough, people testified this was real. Okay, so I just bought some Parmesan cheese about 1.5 weeks ago. And Persis was standing right there with me, and Persis likes to really look at the ingredients, and she's a real researcher and stuff like that. And I normally am not. But when it came to this Parmesan cheese, I remembered, man, this has sawdust in it, according to these experts. So I was looking at all the ingredients and reading everything, and I noticed that Kraft said 100% pure cheese. Pure. There had been nothing added to it to spoil it. I'm getting exactly what I paid for. I'm getting exactly what's been advertised. Nobody is deceiving me. There's not some false material or element that is being added to this to trick me. I'm not receiving a counterfeit. I'm receiving the pure thing. Whenever we try to add anything to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to his words, to the message of the Bible, you are no longer having a pure gospel. You no longer have a pure, sincere devotion to Christ. There's many examples of this. If you think about just global religions in general, when you look at Mormons adding the Book of Mormon to scriptures, completely watering it down. When you look at Catholics adding the traditions that they hold to be just as important as the teachings of God, like the things they write at the Council of Trent, and when you see what they've added, it's no longer a pure, sincere devotion to Christ. It's now false. It now needs to have a stamp on it that says, contains mostly artificial ingredients. You know, like when we buy juice, you say, is this flavor additive? Is this got artificial flavors? Or is this 100% juice? We all want the 100% juice, don't we? Because we know whatever they add in it is not good for us. It's not doing our body any good. Oh, it may taste really good in the glass to the taste buds, but it actually does harm. It's not good for your body. It's the exact same thing with the gospel. Whenever we try to find an artificial ingredient, the meaning of man, the thoughts of man, the principles of this world, hollow and deceptive philosophies, these things can seem flavorful. They can seem spicy. They can seem interesting. And it's very tempting, my brother or sister in Christ, when sometimes those long days, those long dark days of just one foot in front of the other, and your spiritual life in Christ kind of seems more like Groundhog Day than it does what we read about in the New Testament. It's really easy to be tempted to look outside of the Bible for some spice to add up to your Christian life, to spice it up. You know how sometimes men and women, if they are struggling in their sexual relationships, they'll go to that naughty and nice store or whatever it is, spice store in their local town, and start buying stuff and trying to add things to try to spice up their marriage instead of just trusting by the Spirit and grace of God to allow that to continue to be there. They've now lost something that was pure, and they're having to reach out to man-made things to bring that into the relationship in an effort to spice it up. That's all artificial, right? And we're doing the exact same thing in our relationship with God. So let me tell you how easily this can happen, give you a real example. A few years ago, a person reached out to me, and they came from a very, very legalistic background. Their understanding of religion had all been very, very oppressive and very much about following all the rules. And for the most part, they did. But it produced a bitterness in their heart. And so a series of circumstances took place in their life where God was able to take them kind of to a different place and help them see a different side of life, a life with more liberty, more freedom. We'll call this a season of going prodigal, where they were able to let their hair down a little bit, if you will, and kind of run out and explore what the world had to offer. No different than the prodigal son did. Hey, Dad, give me my inheritance. I'm good. And he runs off and sees the big cities and, you know, all the materialism and all the sensuality, and runs out and blows all of his money. He finds himself absolutely broke, despondent, and basically longing to fill his belly with pig's food. And then he humbles himself. Eventually, he's wised up. He goes back and considers himself nothing before his father, says, I'll just make myself a servant. And as we know, this is a beautiful picture of, you know, basically the whole world who God created to be in the house with him. And yet they're convinced that it's better to be outside of God's house and to go run to the world. So we all run to the world. We touch it, we feel it, we put it in our mouth, we eat it, we drink it, we test it, we squeeze it, we love it, and then we find, wow, this just doesn't taste like what I thought it did. Those of us that have been, you know, predestined for election in God, those of us that have been appointed for eternal life, the book Acts says, we have something in us that we say, is this all there is? So then we naturally come back, we repent. Oh God, I'm a rotten sinner. Father, please. And this is where, you know, instead of God saying, yep, you just deserve to be a servant in my house forever and ever, I'll let you and hire you and give you a cheap wage. No, God kills the fattened calf and puts a ring on her finger. A picture of him putting his Holy Spirit inside of us, sealing us by his divine providence, letting us know and testifying in our spirit that he is indeed our Father. We are indeed his children. It's a glorious message, right? And so going prodigal can be a good thing. It can help you to really, really appreciate what God has done for you. You can't really always know how good something is until you've lost it, right? So sometimes there's lots of testimonies we hear of people who grew up in the church or grew up legalistic, and then they, you know, we've heard the stories of preacher's kids, right? Some of them never come back from it, unfortunately, but sometimes they rebel and they go out into the world, and then when they taste and see that it's not good, they come back to taste and see that God is good. So this person kind of had a situation like that in their life. And then they reached out to me and had some questions about their faith and they were struggling in. And so I began to minister to this person as I do, you know, as I have been for years, just as the Spirit led. And after a few months of doing this, the person's lights came on. God just gave them light and helped them to see a lot of the situations they were in completely differently. And this joy and peace just flooded this person's heart. And they just started to thank me over and over again for the time that I took to help them, encourage them. And I just said, oh man, God has done all of this. God is seeking you. God wants a relationship with you. You know, I can't take credit for this. He's just using me as a mouthpiece. But God is clearly pursuing you. God loves you and wants to save you out of this, you know, dry, weary land that you've been walking in and not having any life and peace by the Spirit of God. So this person just became on fire for the Lord and began to share it with their family, so forth and so on. And I was just so thankful. I mean, I praise God for this. It was incredible. And to watch this happen. And so here's where I want to get to the dark part of the story. After a certain period of time, this person was led astray from their pure and sincere devotion to Christ. And here's how it happened. When you've only ever known a certain paradigm in your life, you've come from, a paradigm just means a model, a system. It's how you, it's kind of like a worldview, right? So my worldview and my paradigm was this kind of prosperity gospel, hyper grace, and very materialistic world that we live in called America. That's been my paradigm. When I went to India with my wife Persis to live there with her, my exposure to India exposed me to a completely different paradigm. And it actually helped me to see how much differently my paradigm was than people who live in India, which, by the way, is four people there to every one of us here. So they have a great number more of people than we do. It's a much bigger amount of people than America has. So when I saw this, I was able to see the paradigm that I grew up in much more clearly. And I was able to see how in many things I was making meaning. Let me just back up for a second and tell you what really, really happened is my greatest paradigm shift was when God called me out by shattered dreams of the business world. And he put me on the shelf and basically isolated me and helped me to see the world from a spiritual perspective and from the biblical perspective rather than just what I could see with my eyes and manage every day with my own life and resources. Just simply running around all day, no different much than a rat responding to my circumstances, looking for good opportunities to be fed and to be happy. So when God pulled me out of that business world and basically I found myself sitting, you know, in a Bible study chair for 3.5 years every morning for about 4 hours a day and out here walking in these woods and completely isolated from Egypt. God took me out of Egypt, right? That changed my paradigm. So I began to look back and go, whoa, the meaning I was living for life is not the only meaning. I was looking through a certain lens. There's a whole lot more to this. If you're not careful, as a human being who has a real strong need to make meaning out of your life, you can be easily led astray by things that are not true. Easily, my friend. This is a strong temptation. I'm going to tell you, this temptation is right up there with somebody who's struggling with sex addiction. It's a strong temptation. The devil wants to entice us to find meaning about our life, about our childhoods, about our past relationships, about our past failures, about our past successes, about our past relationship with God, about our past church, about our past religion, about our past culture. The devil wants you and I to find our meaning, to define that as he defines it. He's all about trying to shape your identity and shaping your worldview so that you are taken captive to do his will, not God's will. See, he does this through error, but he's so cunning. My friend, please get this. The devil is so crafty. I have seen myself be deceived thinking, for example, in the charismatic movement, when I saw all this stuff happening in Bethel Church and all these things, and I immediately thought, oh my goodness, they have something I don't have. You see, it's not like a church was watching porno saying it was okay. Oh, this is a church who is having spiritual porno, basically, and having all this experience and all this, you know, circus act stuff going on. And I looked at that and I said, well, no, wait a second, Lord, I'm a humble man. If I'm missing out on this, please let me know. And before I knew it, the devil was not drawing me away to follow Satanism. He's following me. He's drawing me away by an angel that's masquerading as an angel of light. He's drawing me away by a false teaching that is masquerading as an angel of light. He's drawing me away by a counterfeit. This thing looks good. I'm going, wow, I must be missing something here. My goodness gracious, how crafty is the devil. Please do not underestimate him. I take great confidence only in the fact that I know I shall not be confident on my own. That is my confidence, that I constantly pray, Father, please don't let me be deceived. See, who do I think I am? Do I think I can outsmart a spirit that has lived for all of eternity for all I know? I mean, obviously he's a created being, so he hasn't lived all eternal like the Trinity God has. But let's just say it might as well be eternity for my sake. But do I really think that I can outwit and outsmart and understand fully the schemes on my own of a devil who's been doing this with billions of people for 6,000 years, and I may live 70 to 80 years if God wills it, and I maybe have only been knowing the truth for the last 8 fully? I mean, seriously, he's very cunning and very deceptive. My only hope is in the wisdom and protection from the enemy that comes from God by His Holy Spirit, and that humility of submitting myself to God, resisting the devil, and knowing that God will take care of me and protect me. So, back to this story. Don't think that the devil's schemes will be obvious. Sometimes they are. But sometimes I think those obvious schemes are there. I think some of his most obvious tricks, some of his most obvious errors are there, probably so much more as a decoy to get you to think, oh, that's where the devil's at work, but he's not at work over here. For example, you see a David Koresh. You see some of these cults, okay? And or just say, example, Seventh-day Adventist. I mean, we all know these people have been led astray from their sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Mormons, I don't know that they ever were Christians. But clearly we look at these organizations and say, well, that's where the devil's at work. We look at Catholicism and the Pope and all of the ungodless fruit that comes out of that thing. And we say, oh, that's where the devil's at work. See, and it gives us a false sense of security. It's like, as long as you think he's at work over there and he's not working through this false teacher who's masquerading as an angel of light right next to you or standing right in front of you, you can be deceived. That's how amazing the devil is. You're looking at the decoy and the real one standing right beside you, and you don't see it. You don't know it. So this person, back to the story, started to try to find meaning out of their life and their personality and how they grew up and to really make sense of it. And they started to go online and they started to search out. It started innocent. It started out with things like researching birth order. This person came from had several siblings and they wanted to start to understand birth order and see, you know, how does this affect, you know, who I am? And when you go to these websites, you read on birth order, you might be surprised as you find yourself going, wow, that's me, and it starts to define you. So now there's some credibility. So if you went there and what it said was completely out of the ballpark, you know, if you were a middle child and it says if you're a middle child then you're born with purple skin. All middle children are born with purple skin. Well, you go, man, this is stupid. But when you go there and you read middle children have a tendency to feel left out, overlooked, insecure, they become quiet, so forth and so on. And you start going, wait a second, that's right in line with me. Okay, check it out. Now you've just started taking a step towards finding your identity and the human understanding of yourself rather than God's understanding. You're now allowing godless men who write these psychological reviews and reports and conclusions to define who you are and why you are the way you are. Even if it's true, it's not the whole truth. It very much may be a part of your life. It very much may be a facet of who you are. But that is not what is at the core true about you. And if you cannot resist this temptation to shut these things down, let me tell you something. One bad choice leads to another. One step into the darkness leads to another. One intentional step into error leads to another. It's not that first one that gets you. It's like Oreo cookies. It's not the first one that's going to make you fat. But when you eat one and you realize how amazing they taste, I mean, I'm sorry, but Oreos are amazing. I'm being truthful. I'm being truthful. But when you take that one Oreo cookie and you taste it, you say, well, if one is good, two is better. If two is good, three is much more better. And before you know it, you're like me and you sit down with six of them with a glass of milk. Okay? Now, the same exact thing can happen. If you're going online and starting to research, like, for example, think about this desire people have to know who they are through their ancestry. Like, I understand that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, okay? I've even wondered, gosh, I don't even know what I am. I know I'm a mixed breed, but I don't even know where those breeds originated from. So I'm like, I don't know. What am I? But the truth of the matter is, flesh and blood counts for nothing. If you look at this from a spiritual standpoint, I have no reason to send in my DNA. Again, look, I'm not looking down on people that do this. One of my best friends recently did this. And I laughed with him and thought it was interesting when he got his results back. I'm not saying it's wrong to do it. I'm just saying for me, it's not my personal choice because, or if I did it, it wouldn't make much meaning to me. It wouldn't be that important to me because the Bible says flesh and blood count for nothing. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And it counts so little in God's eyes that even Jesus, when he was told that his mother and brothers were standing outside waiting for him, what did Jesus say? Who are my mother and brothers? He basically is disrespecting his bloodline, right? He is. And it's not that he's intentionally disrespecting them or intentionally disrespecting his family bloodline. What he's trying to show is that compared to what matters in the spiritual realm, the flesh absolutely counts for nothing. The spirit is so honored in heaven that it's as if the flesh counts for nothing. It's the same principle of anyone comes to me and does not hate his mother and father, his brother and sister, his wife and children, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciples. It's not that you literally hate. You don't literally hate him. It's just that your love for God and your obedience to him is so much greater. It appears as if you hate your family members because you're going to obey God in ways that are going to actually do harm, damage to them in some way, frustrate them, hurt them, right? And so it looks like you hate them. If you really loved me, you would stay at home and you wouldn't go and travel. You wouldn't go and do this. You wouldn't give up this. You would stay working that big fancy job. You would whatever. So it looks like you hate your family, but you don't. All right. The same thing Jesus said, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put them into practice. That's where our identity is to come from, is in Jesus Christ. By his spirit, we are his spiritual brothers and sisters, okay, as we obey him. So when I go to man's mechanisms and man's tools and I begin to search for meaning, I'm already headed into the darkness, okay? Even if it sounds good and even if it seems safe, remember, Paul said all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. And then he says it a second time. He says all things are permissive and permissible, but not all things are constructive. Wisdom to discern good and error is so important. Wisdom to discern what is best. That's my prayer even for you. I pray for you and say, God, please help them to discern what is best and to live a life worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, help me to discern what is best. There's lots of things that are good that are not the best. I want the best. And I don't mean best materially. Please don't ever hear that. I want God's best. I want God's best truth. I want God's best wisdom. I want to make the best choices with my life. I can't always, but with God's help, I'm doing it more and more. So this person started with the birth order thing. And that was really something that I said, look, I want to really caution you about this. This is something that it may seem like it makes a lot of sense. It's great, but I want to caution you. Don't put too much thought into this. It's interesting for a novelty if you want to give it some consideration, but let it alone. Soon after that, there was a graduation to something even darker. There was an interest in, what about these horoscopes? What about these 12 signs? What about Virgo and Sagittarius? And what about all this? I mean, is there any truth to that? And the next thing I knew, this person was finding meaning in their life from what they found through these signs. And I'm going, no, wait a second. You have to understand, this is godless. This is stuff that's been most likely created by demonic influences to help men make meaning of themselves. It's like a total counterfeit of the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 disciples. You have these 12 zodiac signs. I said, you want to stay away from this. This is not good. This is not of God. But see, the temptation is too strong. And when the law says, or even the Spirit of God says, don't do that, if you are not careful and you don't walk by the Spirit, you will find yourself being compelled to go do that, to go look. And I think this person was doing that. There was another step into the darkness. Then it moved on to other things, like studying about being an introvert or an extrovert, and then studying personality types. And it just kept going one step after another, farther and farther away from the truth. Now, you might say, well, what's the consequences of this? I mean, this isn't all so bad stuff, Mike. I mean, come on. What? I mean, we all can go find that information out and still love God and still be filled with the Spirit. Let me tell you what happened with this person. Somehow or another, the devil was able to use all of these studies and many more things that this person looked at on the internet to completely change how they saw the scriptures and how they saw the Bible. And this led them to begin to see the Bible differently. So basically it works like this. You find your meaning from the Bible, you have peace and love and joy in the Spirit. Doesn't mean you don't have suffering, but you have a sense of, man, I'm headed in the right direction. This is truth, right? And your life and heart begin to indicate this by fruit. When you step outside of the Bible and you start to define things that God says about you outside of the scriptures, when you find meaning and you decide, okay, that's what this means, that's why I'm like this, guess what happens? When you do enough of those, that's why I'm like this is, from things that come from psychology, guess what no longer fits into the puzzle you're building that's creating the picture of how you define your life? God's Word, the Bible. You see, you started to put your life together as a puzzle, making meaning from the Word of God. And all the puzzle pieces fit perfectly. The Word of God has been refined in the fire 7 times. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. It's a living, breathing Word. You have been made in the image of God. God is the Word. The Word is God. When the Word of God speaks about your life, the Word of God which made you, Jesus being the living Word, was not one thing made that was not made through Him, Jesus Christ, right? When He starts to put your life together by His Word, it all fits and makes a masterpiece of a picture at the end. All the pieces go together. Now, it takes a lifetime of putting pieces together, right? But when you decide to look into another box and try to add pictures or pieces from another puzzle to this one, and if you put enough and you start building some of those pictures together from another puzzle, say, for example, you had 2 puzzles. One is the real puzzle of truth in your life as seen by God. But yet you see some other spicy looking, really interesting, enticing to the eye pieces in another box that you go, oh, those red pieces, those are so beautiful. I want to add those to my picture. Oh, look at that. This is such a beautiful thing. Let me grab this. Oh, I love those. And you start bringing in these other things to kind of add some spice and some meaning and some zest to the puzzle you're building for your life, guess what happens? If you build enough of your meaning of your life outside of the Word of God, when you try to add the Word of God back to this new puzzle, it doesn't fit. Guess what ends up getting thrown out? You don't rarely throw out the old pieces, the counterfeit pieces, the fake pieces. No, you end up throwing out the Word of God. And if you don't throw it out, guess what you do? You end up dismissing the parts of the Word of God that no longer fit with your model of seeing the world. Do you see how horrible this is? You basically put yourself in a prison of error by just, and it doesn't even take long. It's just, well, I just was curious. I just wanted to go look and see what those websites thought. Man, I stay away from that crap. Can I just say that again? I stay away from that crap. That's exactly what I've called it. That is exactly what it is. And I say it standing here in this blue sky before my Father, Holy Spirit in me. That stuff is garbage. I don't want, what does Paul say? Do not let anyone take you captive by hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends upon human understanding, the ways of the world, and worldly wisdom, rather than on Christ. You see, this is one of the things that helps us understand why Jesus said, unless you change and become like little children, you can never enter the kingdom of God. Because little children are willing to be what you tell them. They're willing to do what you tell them. And they don't come with any presuppositions. They have faith, they're needy, they need your help, and they're humble. But what happens is, when you have perhaps an intellectual prowess about you, or you have an emotional prowess about you, and you are gifted in some area, my friend, you have to recognize that as not just a strength, but also an excess. It becomes a weakness. You have to manage that part of your life and rein it in so that you don't think, well, I have to go learn all this and find out all these things. Man, that stuff is dangerous. That stuff will lead you astray from your pure and sincere devotion to Christ. You see how this happens? So with this person, what ended up happening, as I warned them, they couldn't hear it. They just kept saying, well, what's wrong with this? There's nothing wrong with this. And I'm just looking into this. And I kept saying, look, it's not wise. I'm telling you, one thing leads to another. My friend, the person's faith has been completely destroyed. They've been completely alienated from Christ. And what ended up happening is, since the model of Christianity that the Bible teaches and the model of Christianity that I was teaching no longer fit with their new picture of their life and their worldview, they had to rebuild, if you will, reassemble the Word of God and throw out a bunch of things in order to make it fit. And it went from being a person who had sincere love and devotion to Jesus Christ, who talked about Him all the time, to becoming a person who became, quote, spiritual. All of a sudden, it became about everything just being spiritual and everything being led by the Spirit and throwing away the words of God that were written by the Spirit and believing in universalism, that God is going to save everybody because He's so loving. Twisted views of heaven, twisted views of Israel and the law and all kinds of things that started to happen. I started to watch this happen with this person and I said, I cannot believe my eyes or ears. My friend, I know you have seen this happen to somebody. It's very, very dangerous. It shows how real spiritual warfare is. You can think that you're on the straight and narrow. You can think you're fine. And before I know it, this person had lost sensitivity to darkness. And they started opening themselves up to more and more things that are worldly. And they could no longer hear the truth from me. I've had several people that I have ministered to like this on a long-term path where God eventually called me to walk away from them. They were doing so good for a while. And I'm going to tell you a statistic that I found shocking in my own ministry. When I started doing these recordings about 4 years ago now, I've lost track of time. When I started doing these personal recordings for people where somebody would reach out to me and I would try the best I could to answer their request with God's help, I had about 4 people that I did this with over a very long term, long period of time, somewhere between 50 to all the way up to 90 recordings were traded back and forth with these people, okay? Individually, all from around the world, different places. And I would send a recording to them, they would send a recording to me, and I discipled them literally through these recordings, okay? Amazingly, just like the parable of the sower, only one of these 4 seeds made it. Now, to my knowledge, I've lost touch with the other 3. They might have got turned around, but the Lord asked me to disfellowship from them. And I got to a place where we pressed in, and I found the place where the devil had taken them captive, and then he flipped them over on me and turned them against me. Like Galatians 4, have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? And it was terribly sad. I mean, I can snicker at it now just as a story, but it was terribly sad to see some of these things happen with these people where they had so much potential, so much love for God, so much energy, so much zeal and enthusiasm, but they were taken captive. And literally, as I think back, it's just exactly like the parable of the sower, where only one out of the four seeds made it. The one that made it has become just absolutely one of my best friends that I've ever had. His name is Jared. And Jared has just been a blessing to me beyond what I could even put into words. And it's been such an amazing joy. I basically helped him get connected to the Lord, and then now the Lord's got him. And man, it's just incredible. He is living proof, and as are many others, that everything Jesus Christ said is true, and that everything I've been preaching is true. He made it. He made it. Now we have to make it all the way to the end. He hasn't made it home yet, neither have I. We have to persevere. But he's made it to spiritual maturity. He made it to the place where he found freedom from his sins. He found freedom from the world. He found freedom from his flesh. He overcame all these things by faith, and he found the speaking voice of God. So I hope, if anything, you've taken away from today's message how important it is that you not think you're okay, that you not think that you are standing stronger. Remember, Paul said, if you think you're standing firm, be careful lest you fall. We have to be careful, my friends. And listen, if you have a family member or a friend or a coworker or something that you know that has been taken captive and led astray from their sincere and pure devotion to Christ, pray for them and love them. Don't shrink back from telling them the truth. When they tell you that they can walk in darkness or they can walk, you know, subjectively by the Spirit however they want, don't do that. Have the scriptures to say no. In God, there is no darkness. God is light. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. Don't be afraid to speak the truth, whatever it is that you need to speak. But then let it go. Don't argue with them. Just let it go and trust God to minister by the power of His Holy Spirit into their heart. And let it serve as an example for all of us. That could happen to all of us. It could happen to me. That's why I'm fighting the good fight of faith. That's why I'm finishing the race. You know, that's why I want to keep the faith all the way to the end. And I trust and depend upon Him every day to help me walk in the light as He is in the light. Then we'll have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ will purify us and cleanse us of all sin. Thanks be to God in heaven. Let me make one final point on this message. And that is, in Colossians 2:8, Paul says, see to it, be vigilant, make sure this happens, okay? That no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Paul is saying you can actually be taken captive. You can be taken prisoner in thought and in spirituality by going outside of the Word of God to find your meaning and your answers for life. Avoid it, my friend. With the internet today, the temptation is to go learn as much as you can. Knowledge equals power, but it's false knowledge, okay? It's not knowledge that leads to life. When God says, my people perish for lack of knowledge, He's not speaking about worldly knowledge. He's speaking about the knowledge of Him and His ways, which can only be found in the Word of God, okay? I challenge you to deny yourself in this way. If you're tempted and if you're one of those who really likes to go on the websites and read and study, I know women are really given to this because you think a lot more deep a lot of times than us men do. And you're all heart and you're constantly thinking about deep things. That's great. Just make sure that you're matching up your deep thoughts and reconciling them to what you find in Scripture, not what you find on Psychology Today or on Huffington Post. You have to find your only truth. Everything outside of the Bible is darkness. It has a plan to it. It is antagonistic. It is intentional. It's not just neutral, harmless. It has a plan of deception. And see, that's part of the deception, is people don't realize there's spirits behind it. There's deception behind it. So it's exactly like dealing with the occult. Look how tempting it is sometimes for people. Like, even you heard me in my story talk about the time I contacted a psychic. There's a temptation when you're feeling lost or you're feeling hurt or you're walking in darkness in your life. You don't, not meaning intentional sin, meaning you don't know what's next, you don't know where you're going, you don't know how long this is going to last, to find information anywhere. Men are tempted to go to psychics and to tarot cards and to palm reading and astrology and horoscopes and mediums and spiritists. And when you do that, you're walking straight up to the devil and saying, "Devil, give me some meaning for what's going on in my life." And you're basically at the same time sticking a middle finger up to God. That shows such contempt. You see, look, the devil is always going to make information easier, and it's going to be sexier, it's going to be spicier, it's going to be more enticing, it's going to be more titillating than what God has. What God has is vanilla, okay? The spice comes later, right? So you have to deny yourself this. Resist the temptation to go beyond God's word. My friend, if you will do that, God will see your faith and God will bless you with the understanding that the Bible says comes only from Him. This is understanding, knowledge of the Holy One. He'll give you understanding about yourself. He'll give you understanding about you and about His ways and dealings in your life. And you'll be able to walk with Him in the cool of the garden, even here on this earth, all the days of your life. Resist the temptation to find meaning for your life and your problems outside of anything other than the Word of God. My friend, this is why I stand so much against life coaching and counseling, even though you throw quote-unquote Christian on top of it. Because at the foundation of those teachings is psychological, man-made, hollow, and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human traditions and worldly wisdom rather than on the principles and teaching of Jesus Christ. God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen.